All right. Let's, if you're physically able, can you stand up and, let's read just one verse. First Chronicles 29. Those who have their Bibles or their apps, just turn to, First Chronicles 29, verse 15. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, Lord, and Lord, the events that's coming up, Lord. We really want you to be involved in the details and the people traveling, Lord. Give them traveling mercies and just overflow this, this place, Lord, that weekend and for visitors even, Lord, let this summer be a summer that we don't, take our foot off the gas per se. Understanding that we're at rest. Maybe we had a whole year of ministry, but we continue in serving and just excitement, Lord, coming up. I mean, we had a long, feels like 2 years of this, but, Lord, it's the tail end and we know, Lord, that you're in it and you're stirring us up, Lord, at this time, and just thank you for that. Lord, just bless these few words in Jesus' name. Amen. So First Chronicles 29:15 says this, "For we are aliens and pilgrims before you. As we all our fathers, our days on earth are a shadow and without hope." Maybe a few weeks ago I was reading that, and that really stuck with me. Our days on earth are a shadow and without hope. And I was thinking some practical examples, okay? You know, you're on the highway and, you know, you're on 495 and you're probably speeding a little bit, you know, and the cop's right there and you didn't see him before and he's there and you're making a face like, "Woo!" Oh Lord, please. Like that hope, he doesn't stop me, right? Another is, you dropping your iPhone, right? Face down. No cover. Okay? You get, there's always a face to it too. You're like, no. Okay, we good. Alright. Another one, you hit a pothole on the road, right? And you hit it hard. And you're like, "Oh Lord, please the tire." And then you roll down a little window, just a little bit, just to hear, "Lord, let it just keep going." "No, let it just keep going." And then one time, and 695, this was when I was living in Baltimore, heading out to Owen Mills, cause that's where I was working at night. And the gas light was on for a few miles. And I'm like, "Lord, let me just get to the exit. Lord, multiply the fuel." But then it's like, oh, no, okay, I gotta pull over, call AAA. These are all my personal, examples, but, our hope eventually becomes disappointments at times, right? And, even today at work, I set up this job in the machine. At daytime, I'm a machinist, and I set it up my first run. It was like good. And then my coworker, Tom, is like, "Oh man, you're so lucky." And I told Tom, "I don't believe in luck." I don't believe in luck. I think God appoints everything and everything, right? He sets the tone for everything. And so why I say this is like the hope can be unbalanced in this life, right? There's a lot of things we hope in and we hope for, and at times it doesn't come through. Harold Lindsay said this, "Man can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, and about 8 minutes without air. But man can't go 1 second without hope." Let me say that one more time. Harold Lindsay said this, "Man can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but man can't go 1 second without hope." It's important as believers to know that we have our hope in Christ, right? And then you read this verse and you wonder, like, why is man so lost, the natural man so lost, right? And in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the natural man, you know, no wonder in that verse, no wonder they're blinded by the light, because it's the glorious gospel. I was trying to go through that without laughing. But I was trying to go through the gospel. They don't see it. It's blinded to them. And it's without hope. And then this is the stuff that we possess, right? Okay. You ready? This is the possessions that we have. Hebrews 6:19 says, this hope we have as an anchor to our souls. 1 Peter 1:3, it's our living hope. 1 Peter 3:15, the hope that is evident within us. Hebrews 7:19, it's a better hope. And we just finished up Bible college with Pastor Bailey, and it was so awesome just to know that Christ is that ability and priest, the high priest from, you know, the Old Testament, the times that they had to go to the temple and sacrifice, the atonement for the people. But Christ is our high priest. This is our better hope in Hebrews 7:19. He did it for once and for all. The bulls and goats couldn't do it, right? He did it once for all. And 2 Peter 3:13, it doesn't say this, but it says full of hope. I write that. It's full of hope. It's like, our hope is to be with Him. And so, in all this hope, where am I in my notes? Okay. So, in Job 13:15, alright, Job says this, though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. I was in Bible college in Baltimore, and I was sitting down, and an Indian pastor told me this verse. And what he said next really hit me. He said, it's so easy to say the words. It's so easy to say those words. Though He slay me, I would trust Him. So easy. But it's a different story when we're living in it. Right? It's a different story. Right? Galatians 5:16 to the end, it's always a warfare, right? There's always war. Ephesians 6, there's always a battle. And what's the reason for all this? In 1 Thessalonians 2:4, because He's testing our hearts. And He's testing our hearts for what? For us to James 4:8, to draw near. It's the only purpose. It says in 1 Peter 1:7, it says, these trials are as precious as gold. And I'm like, Lord, I'd rather take the gold. Like, don't give me this trial. But it's because of that. It produces growth. Pastor Stephen says, a believer that grows the most is after a trial. And why is that? Because they've learned something, and they've drawn near to someone. And who's that someone? It's the Word of God. It's the body of Christ. Right? Okay. So, on Monday, God spoke. And I'm not talking about Allstate. One of those commercials like, hey Donald, how you doing today? No, He spoke. He spoke to what? His word. And turn to 2 Chronicles 20, please. 2 Chronicles 20. I'm giving you insight what he spoke to me about. Again, just keep in the topic of hope. Alright? And then this is the story about Jehoshaphat. And in verse 1, it happened after that the people of Moab and the people Ammon and others that besides the Ammonites came to the battle against Jehoshaphat. So there's three nations going against this king, right? In verse 3 it says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judea. And in verse 3 he turned to God, right? And most of our trials, that's what we should do. We should just whatever happens to our life, we just turn to God in prayer and fasting and supplication. We just turn to God. That's the first thing we should do. God can change something in 1 second that we can't do in a lifetime. That's the reality. Well, how much can we do? How much can we fathom? How much in our ability can we make out? We don't have strength, not in us, but we just give it to God. All right? In verse 6, it said this, and Joseph has said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand? You know, it's so funny. Sometimes I say statements like that to God. I'm like, God, aren't you the one who split the Red Seas? Aren't you the one that I've seen your faithfulness in my life? Like, can you make this thing happen? Can you open the ways that I've seen you before done? Like, what's different between that time? And I don't want to lose verse 4. Verse 4 says, so Judea gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judea, and they came to seek the Lord. Okay, we're seeking the Lord. And then, like I said in James 4:8, we draw near because we draw near and he draws near to us. And we draw near as a mature believer. Okay, so there was a time when I was an immature believer, right? When there was so much chaos in my life, so much. Last thing I wanted to do was go to church. Last thing I wanted to do was read my Bible. Last thing I wanted to do was pray, right? The devil manipulates believers to say, no, just be by yourself or stay away. And like, it hurts so much. And I know because in seven, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of the land? That's not where I want it. Oh, verse 9. If disaster comes upon us, sore judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. We're not crying out when things go good. We're not crying out when we're in the mountaintop. We're crying when, Lord, we need you, and we draw near. And this it says, and the temple is here, and your name and your presence is the very presence that we needed to be in. Lord, the trial is overbearing, it's overweight, and the Lord's like, well, when you want to come through, I can take care of that. Whenever you want to come, you know, when you come near me, draw near to me. And this, okay, so the thing about trials and, you know, when we sleep the day before, we still think about it. We're still in it, right? But the mentality is different. Because when we have a mind of Christ, which we all do, like, okay, now maybe the trial's not really overbearing. And maybe the weight of it is not that heavy because God's holding us. All right? So, in verse 12. So again, Jehoshaphat is against these enemies. Verse 12. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? Oh, God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. And when we start, and so, and here's the reality as believers, we have no hope in us. We don't. Not in us. In Christ though. And our eyes are on who? On him. To get us through. Verse 15. It says this, and he said, listen, all you in Judea and in your inhabitants of Jerusalem and you king of Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. And that's what it is. It's on him. It's on him too. And we stand what in verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Oh, what? Position yourself. How do I position myself? Drawing in the body. Get into my word. Praying. Drawing near when it hurts. Drawing near where I can't stand on my own too. But I know God is carrying me. I'm drawing near. We stand in the position of victory already. Even when I remember a meme that said, Satan loved it when, that person, let's say for this example's sake, a female, a believer, she would just fall to the ground. Satan was so rejoicing about it, and then he fled after she said amen. Like, how discouraging it is to the devil when he thinks we're defeated, and we say faith statements like, God, you will pull us through. God, you have done this before. God, you give us the victory in the position. Well, how am I positioning myself? I'm seeing you through it, and it's you that's battling this, not me. And it's your way, not mine. Because 1 Peter 5:7, and we cast our cares, right? Cast our cares unto him. And I love that end of that verse. It's because I honestly, who cares if no one feels it? I think he really cares. It says it. He cares. He cares for you. We stand in the position. So here in verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Tony, I didn't hear you. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Can I get an amen? Stand still and see the position of the Lord. Tristan, are you here? Stand still and see the position. This is the salvation of the Lord right there. In verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground. Why? Why is he bowing? Because the goodness of God. That he's bowing because he's like, I'm not worthy. But God, you're doing the work and you're fighting the battle. And then in Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bow before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. All right. So we bow, we surrender to the Lord. It's in your hands, Lord. Okay. Now, and this is just an introduction, so I don't want to get too lengthy, but the next verse, verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out. Okay. What's that? Oh, so hear me, O Judea, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord, your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. And here it is. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army. And then they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people. So praise confuses the enemy. It really is. That's it. Praise confuses the enemy. And the rest of the story, three tribes went, battled, and they were killing each other off because why? God made the confusion. And then in verse 25, Jehoshaphat and King Jehoshaphat and the army was reaping all the rewards of the jewels or whatever the enemies had. 3 days, for 3 days. And you know what? That spoke to me too. For three whole days, they were gathering. God made it happen where all they did was reap the reward, right? For three whole days. And you know what I was thinking? After a trial, how much fruit do we gain after the fact? How much have we grown after the fact, right? Lord, maybe I wasn't really in my Bible before the trial. Maybe I wasn't really serious with you before the trial. Maybe I was not really even looking at you before the trial. But now, my eyes have seen. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. But my eyes are on you. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing something right. Because God, my eyes are on you, Lord. For 3 days there, and then in verse 30, it says this, and it says, and then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. So, 2 Chronicles 14:7 says, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. 2 Chronicles 14:11 says, Lord, it is nothing for you to help for those who have no power. Nor do we know. So, hope, huh? Like we have hope in Christ. We have hope in him. His hope is everlasting. His hope is always, it's, we're looking forward to it, but we know that it's true. The examples that I mentioned, this is hope, and then in my own, conscious mind, I'm like, Lord, let it not fall. But in 1 Kings 8:56, not one of his word has ever failed. Not one. Not one. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, even when I'm faithless, he remains faithful. He is faithful. That's his name. He is faithful. He is love. And there's time in our trials we're questioning God too. Like, Lord, aren't you the one? Aren't you the God of all the nations? Yes, I am. So what's the point of me being in this position? For you to get to know me more. For you to get into me, like into the word more. For you to be in prayer more. For you to trust me more. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I don't trust God. I'm like, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. People are like, oh man, you're reading the Bible a lot. You're reading the Bible a lot. Yeah, because a lot of times I don't know what he's doing. But why am I reading the word? So I can be prepared. So I can be knowing, even when I'm in a trial, that I will look upon the salvation of the Lord. And I know that he's my hope in time of need. This is our hope. And so our days are not a shadow. Yes, we are, day by day, our outer man is perishing away, but our inner man is growing new and new and new. And this hope is what we're looking for. We're in excitement knowing that there's heaven awaiting us. And we're all, and our names are written when nothing can write us out. This hope is eternal. And this is the hope that we are in. So Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you are a hope. You are a better hope, Hebrews 7. Lord, you are able. You are able, Lord, for anybody who maybe this is a word for them right now, Lord. Let them know, Lord. Just like Jehoshaphat, he was at fear, but he turned to you. And Lord, and the nations were, Jerusalem was in, and Judea was in fear, but they turned to you. And Lord, let us turn to you, Lord. Even when it hurts, let us turn to you. Lord, comfort us, Lord. The Holy Spirit will comfort in John 14. This is who he is. And that's his ministry. Lord, we've suffered loss. We suffered, failure and even disappointments. But Lord, you've never failed. You've never failed us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
And he knows that we in ourselves are outmatched. So he doesn't call us to get stronger. He calls us to rest in him. Isn't that good? The position. What was it? What was the wording? Position yourself. That's so good. What are we doing? That's what we're doing here, isn't it? We're positioning ourselves by receiving the word. Praise. What did he say about praise confuses the enemy? Position yourself in the word with doctrine, thinking with God. Thinking with God leads to praise. And then praise confuses the enemy. Amen. What a message. Thanks, Pastor Don. I don't know. Just a couple thoughts tonight. It's so good. I don't want to really distract from that message. So Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for that message. Thank you for the hope that you've given us. Thank you for the way that you fight for us. You have fought for us and you are fighting for us. You will fight for us. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Open with me to Revelation chapter 2. I think like what Pastor Donald did is that he encouraged us, didn't he? That was so encouraging. And last week we spoke a little bit about what the church is and how we are together. And we had our example, Pastor Donald and Pastor Doug were up here, and how we communicate about each other. The way of communication, remember from Luke chapter 24. Why is it that you are, what kind of conversation are you having that you are more sad the more you talk? As disciples, we could be walking and we could be conversing about something and then become more and more sad. When the truth is that there is joy. There is joy in Jerusalem because Christ is alive. He's out of the tomb, but I could walk away from my joy in a way we said in natural reasoning. I could walk away from my source of joy because of natural reasoning. What makes sense a lot of times? I don't know. It's kind of a tough question for you to answer because you don't know what I'm thinking about. But what makes sense a lot of times might not be what God is leading us to do. A lot of times he leads us contrary to human reasoning, or natural things. You can say, Lord, it makes a lot of sense that, like with that story there, Jehoshaphat could be saying, it makes a lot of sense that I be very busy preparing things right now. But instead, I bow my face before God, and I take the position in truth, and I rest in that. Everything in me could be saying, be anxious, fear everything, run around like a chicken right now. But God is saying, be still and know that I am God. And naturally we were saying, no, that's impossible. It's against every grain in me. But God is saying, exactly, you are a new creation. You have an ability to do this in Christ. So Revelation chapter 3, we see here that the letters to the seven churches. I'm just going to cherry pick one little verse out of it. Terrible hermeneutics, but it's good. Revelation 3:2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before the Lord, before God. But that first sentence, be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. That message strengthened me. It did. I was encouraged by it. There's another verse in Hebrews 12:12. It says, lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. Whoa, that's a good picture for us. Lift up the hands that hang down. Like Moses, when Joshua was fighting the battle, and Moses had, when his hands were lifted, Joshua had the victory. But when Moses got tired, his arms dropped and Joshua started to lose. So a couple guys came and they brought a little easy boy chair and they slid it underneath Moses and they held his arms up. And as long as they held his arms up, Joshua had the victory. So there's a lot going on in that story, but there is Moses who is hearing from God and he knows what God has called him to do. But in himself, on his own, he doesn't have the strength to do it. But then there is Joshua, who is the general of the army, the first general of the army of Israel. It was quite the crack squad, I can imagine. Guys wandering in the desert for 40 years, and they say, okay, you're the general, here's your army. And he's like, wow, okay. But there is the general out there on the battlefield, and when Moses' arms are up, he feels the power of God, and he experiences it, and he sees it played out right in front of him. But as soon as the arms drop, he's all of a sudden overcome, and he's pushed back. So we could say Moses is able to help spiritually, help him, but then also unable to do it. And then Joshua is helped, but then he's also overcome. But then there's a couple guys that come and they hold up the hands that hang down. And when those hands are held up, Moses is able, Joshua is able. And it's a great picture of the body of Christ, that we are here holding each other up. Strengthen the things that are weak. Isn't that good? Be watchful. Be watchful. Be understanding of the times, that they are evil. Have you experienced it? I don't know. I think we imagine the day we wake up in heaven and there is no presence of evil. We will say, oh wow, it was more present than I even realized. Some days we feel it like this close. Like, oh, come on. Like, give me a break. Lay off just a little bit. And then some days we feel a little peace and we say, oh, okay, it's nice out today. But one day we will wake up and we will say, oh my gosh, it was more intense than I even recognized. But we remain. But here we are. But here, just because there is something against us doesn't mean we are overcome. Like that, man, that's perfect. Pastor Donald's message. There are three coming against one. Does that mean it's time to lay down? Does that mean it's time to give up? Does that mean I put down my sword? No. Oh, strengthen the things that remain, because that thing that remains, if it's put in the hands of God and if it's strengthened by the grace of God and the truth of God, oh man, then we can start moving again. Strengthen the things that remain. It could be that they're ready to die. Meaning, like, where am I in my walk? Do we know where each other is? We don't. We don't know where other people are on their walk with God. But does it matter to us? It does. We care. We care. We don't want to see someone fall off. We don't, and meaning, like, walk away from their life of faith. And I think you know what I mean, like not losing self, you know, not walking, you know what I mean. We care. We care. Strengthen those things that remain. It could be that someone is near that point of frustration, discouragement, saying, Have you ever given up on something like that? I have. Forget it. You go set off to build something And in your mind, you think you're like the guy from this old house, right? You're like, I think I'll build a rocking chair. Yeah, I'll build a rocking chair. Like, why would I ever think I could? And then you get, forget it. Forget it. I'm going to have a little bonfire instead. But there is something, in that we have the ability to strengthen each other. That's what I'm thinking about. We have the ability to encourage each other. We have the ability to build each other, encourage each other. Those are the two words I just said. And strengthen each other. But how do we do it? What do we do it with? We do it with the truth. We do it with the word that God has given us. We do it with the grace that we have ourselves received. I think of the younger son in Luke chapter 15. And maybe someone should write a fictional novel about him. I think that would be good. I don't know if anybody's into that stuff. But it was like, what would his life be afterwards? After his father restores him, after his father gives him everything. There could be that he was an unbelievably compassionate person. I like to think that we are that way, that we have been built, we have been encouraged, and now we see people differently, and we say, I will strengthen the thing that remains. There's a little flame in there, right? The smoking flax he will not quench. He won't give up on us. We don't give up on each other. We build each other. And there's throughout the epistles in 2 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says it. He has made us able ministers of the new covenant. He has made us able ministers of the new covenant. What a privilege. What a great thing. Meaning we are ones who can hold up the hands that hang down. Where are we on that story? Are we ones holding the arms? Are our arms being held up? Are we out in the battlefield? In our lives, we will be in one of those positions and we'll be appreciating the ones who are holding our arms up. We will be appreciating the ones whose arms are held up. We will be appreciating the ones who are out there on the battlefield, and we have a part to play in it. So here we are. We are a part of this mission that God has called us all to. We are supporting missionaries. We have missionaries in Albania, in the Balkans, in Ukraine, Malawi, Jerusalem, Congo, Zambia, Argentina, many places, Brazil. Yeah, we have it. We are a part of it. They are out there on the battlefield like Joshua was. And here we are with our arms lifted high. And we are praying. We are encouraging. We are asking God that he would bless them. Why would we do that? Because we have the ability to do it. God has put in our lives the ability to bless, the power to bless, the ability to pray. Like, what a gift. To strengthen the things that hang down. But then also, here we are on our own battlefields. In Marlboro, Southboro, Westboro, wherever we are. Paxton. I always forget Paxton. I gotta get Paxton in there for the Knowleses. Right? Paxton. And we are in it. And now we come together into the church and we feel that someone is holding our arms up and somebody is praying for us. So, let's not be timid, on how we encourage each other. Paul said it to the Ephesians, he said it to the Colossians, strengthening one another, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I say, I don't know how to encourage people. Well, there it is. Just tell them some truth about who they are in Christ. And that is how you encourage people. It's all written. He didn't say, write psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and then sing those to people. He said, no, they're in here. I gave them all to you. Take them out. Take them into your own your own self, and then repeat them to other people, and we'll see what happens. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for building us as people. Thank you for drawing us into your presence and telling us who you are and what you have done for us. And thank you for fighting for us. We go out and we reap the benefit of your work. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.